jars of clay. And what's exciting about this is we've been talking about a number of different things in our theme, jars of clay. It kind of leads everything to this point. Everything that we've been talking about, everything in our main verse, everything leads to this one thing, which is this. This is Pentecost. This. If you have your Bibles, we open with this verse, and we're going to get back into this verse in the next 12 verses, 13 verses, and here we go one more time. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there was devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our language. Here we are. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, something like that, Pontus, the province of Asia, Perga, Egypt, the areas of Libya, Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs, we're all here. We hear these people speaking our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done. The wonderful things that God has done. And they stood there, amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk. I wonder if anything's ever been said about us. They're just drunk. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, happy birthday. Turn to your neighbor and say happy birthday. It's their birthday. Did you know? It's your neighbor's birthday today. The person next to you, it's their birthday. I don't know if you knew this. You might then be asking, well, what'd you get me for my birthday? You know why it's our birthday today? It's all of our birthday. If you've ever asked God into your heart, Pentecost Sunday, it's the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ. And so Pentecost, it's a birthday celebration to remember the day. Pentecost Sunday is the day when the Church of Jesus Christ was born. It's our birthday. Now, I know I say this a lot, but I really, really love this text today. And I'm excited because there's so many things inside the 13 verses that really, truly, they blow my mind and they're amazing. And so as we dig into our text this morning, we know that in the very beginning it says the believers were what? They were meeting together. The believers were meeting together. So as we go through all of these scriptures, we go through back through all of these words in here, it leads to one thing. Pentecost Sunday. Number one, Pentecost Sunday is all about what? Meeting together. Let us think, Hebrews 10:24, of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. What has God put every person on this planet to do who are his sons and daughters? Think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And secondly, the writer says, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that David's return is drawing near. Pentecost, number one, Pentecost means the church meets together. Church meets together. There's something that happens at church. You don't go to church to support the pastor. You don't go to church. You don't. To see me, it's nice. It's really nice, but that's not what church is about. Pentecost is what it says, meeting together. Meeting together. The writer said, listen, Pentecost didn't happen in a home. Pentecost didn't happen out in the wilderness. It happened in a space that was called church from this moment on. It happened, why? Because believers decided to what? To meet together. Church is important. Pentecost happens when what? We meet together. It only happens, can only happen the biggest way, when we meet together. The writer of Hebrews reminds us, stop neglecting meeting together, because a lot of people do. Pentecost, God's sons, God's daughters, Christ followers, disciples of Jesus, whatever we want to call ourselves, Pentecost should remind us, I must go to church and meet with my brothers, my sisters. Number two, Pentecost is a sound from heaven. I love this. There was suddenly a sound of heaven, like a roaring mighty windstorm. John 3:7 says, don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows where it wants. Just as you hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from, where it's going. You can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. Pentecost is a sound. And you know what the sound is? It's the sound of the movement of people who are born again. The sound of Pentecost is God moving. And it's not just God moving over the earth. It's God moving in what? It's God moving in us. Pentecost, listening. Are you listening? There's a sound. It's the sound of God moving at any moment, like the wind, blowing, refreshing, moving, consuming, the sound of heaven. Pentecost is listening for the sound. What did this wind, what did this sound do? It filled the house. There's so many things that we can be filled of, and we talked about that last week. What was our title? You're full of it. And many of us this morning, we're full of a lot of things. There's many things we don't want to talk about. There's many things we hide under the carpet, in the closet, in the trunk of the car. There's things that we bury in the dirt. So many things that we've been full of. But the greatest thing, if we know that God's Spirit, He raised Jesus from the dead, the same spirit that filled Peter, that when Peter walked down a road, he was so full of the Spirit of God. The shadow of Peter, whenever it touched anybody, if they were sick, they were instantly healed. Can you imagine being so consumed with the Spirit of God that where you walked, sick people instantly healed, dead people coming back to life? This Spirit wasn't just for them. God is what? Same yesterday, today, and forever. There's many people say, this stuff was just for the past. It's not for us today. Well, we know God never changes. And if God was the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means that His Spirit that worked then, He's working today, and He wants to continue to work. God's Spirit, it filled the house. And God's Spirit this morning, He wants to fill these houses more, maybe, than we've allowed them to be filling before. I like that video. One of the things that it said at the end is, some of us are still full of fear. Some of us are still full of our imperfections. But one thing that maybe we need to do is stop and be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday, number three, it's about being filled. Ephesians 3:14 says, listen, man, Paul, when I think about all this, I fall to my knees. I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, listen, God has unlimited resources. Some of us this morning, we wish we had friends. We wish we had family members that had what? Unlimited resources. But you know what? There's not one person on this planet who does. Only God. God has what? Unlimited resources. And Paul says, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. He will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit. Ephesians 3:16. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow deep into God's love and keep you strong. You will have power to understand all that God should. How wide, how long, how high, how deep God's love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness. All the fullness. You're made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who's able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might think, ask. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever and ever. Amen. All the things that are happening and can happen when we decide to live a life that is filled. Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine, because it's going to ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, because it's going to ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number four, it says that flames and tongues fire. I can't even imagine the moment 2,000 years ago. It had to have been so crazy as men and women were minding their own business, trying to pray, trying to figure life out, trying to figure what to do next, probably trying to figure out what's for lunch, like many of us in here this morning. What's for lunch? There's so many things going on in their head, and all of a sudden, everything being turned upside down, moving, shaking. There is, without expecting it, they weren't even asking for it, visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire. Tongues of fire. Now, some of us, we think we have our own tongues of fire in the way that we talk sometimes. And I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm talking about speaking the way that we think we should and could whenever we want to. Whenever we're mad and angry and frustrated, we just say whatever we want. And all of us do it. Don't lie. We all do. But on Pentecost Sunday, it's about seeing a visible, something that you can see, manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Receiving, being filled, a power that comes from above. Some probably hard to understand and can only be explained. It can't be explained anywhere else but from the Bible. The power of God and his tongues. God manifesting himself. God manifesting himself, the creator of the heaven and earth, in tongues of fire. Pentecost Sunday is about allowing. God's a gentleman. He doesn't force his way. He doesn't beg. He doesn't plead. He doesn't push. He's a gentleman. He waits for us to say, yes, God, come. Yes, God, forgive me. My head's not straight. God, come. Pentecost, God, please. It's about seeing and wanting the visible manifestation upon God. It says that God came and he settled upon them. He settled upon them. You know, the definition of settling means to establish, unlikely to change. This is a hard word for us, settling. Because so many of us in life, we settle for a lot of things that are less than His best. Many of us, we settle so many times for sin. We settle for the devil's lies. We settle by a used car salesperson tricking us into doing wrong. Friends, family, shoot, man, even people in the church who get others to sin against God, settling to do something we know we shouldn't. God's Spirit in Pentecost Sunday is about learning to settle into one thing, settling into God's Holy Spirit. The word settling means to be established. Now, when most people, you know, start life, one of the goals, now some of us are the type to live and have goals. Others, just let's wing it, baby, right? We're going to wing it, make it, fake it till you make it, right? And then what they say, fake it till you make it. But other people, that one of their goals is to be established. And I like to be established. Stability, right? Stability, established. The word also means unlikely to change. See, some of us with God's Spirit, if the God's Spirit fills us and consumes us, doesn't mean we're acting one way one day and acting a different way the next day. Some people act real weird. Doesn't mean that it's God's Spirit. Some of us as humans, we change with the seasons, we change with the weather, we change with the group of friends we hang around with, we change with what we watch on TV, we change what we listen to on the radio. Some of us, we change all the time, and it's not because we're letting God's Spirit improve us or be settling us. We're allowing the world to change us and be chameleons. We're changing with the environment instead of allowing God's Spirit to be settled upon us. Pentecost Sunday is allowing God's Spirit to be settled upon us, tasting God and making the decision, I'm not going back. I love part number 6, Pentecost Sunday. It says that everyone who's present, if you go to school and you miss class, you are not marked present, you are marked what? Absent. Absent. Many of us, without realizing it, we feel like we're present for God when actually we're being absent from God. Everyone who was present was filled. Everyone who was present. Who was present? We know the disciples, the boys, the gang, the hood. Some of their friends, maybe some of their family members. We know that there was a few people together. And what were they? They were present. Pentecost Sunday is about learning to be present. What does being present mean? Intentionally focus your attention here and now. Engaging fully in the task, the emotion, pushing, eliminating distractions, past regrets, past guilts, and future anxieties. How do I be present right now? Everyone who was present in this moment, Pentecost Sunday, was filled with God's Spirit. Everyone present, focused on the moment. They're not thinking about the past. They're not thinking about the regrets. They're not thinking about the guilt, the shame. They're not thinking about what they did. But they're not also, they weren't worried about what's going to happen next. Those two things dominate so many people. What happened here? And what could happen here? And it stops every one of us from what? Being present in the moment. Pentecost Sunday, it's learning to be present for God. You're not present for me. You're not present for me. You should be present for God. God, 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 I want to hear you. God, I want to see you. God, Pentecost Sunday It's learning to be present at every moment. Number seven, we see that the disciples, as they were being present, what happened? They opened up their mouth. When they opened up their mouth, what came out? It wasn't jibber jabber. It wasn't humor. They weren't making fun of other people. They weren't being sarcastic. When the disciples opened their mouth, what happened? They each had a different language. It's crazy. Pentecost Sunday, they started speaking in different languages. Many of them. I know one language, English. I know one. And I can't imagine opening my mouth and all of a sudden just start speaking Russian. Start speaking Chinese. That'd be crazy. These men in this minute, they didn't study. They weren't studying before this Sunday. They weren't just like in getting the books. They didn't have, you know, somebody they were listening to, Babbel, that app that helps you learn other languages. They didn't have all the tools. There was nothing humanly available for them to learn multiple languages. They weren't trained. They didn't go to school. All they did is what? Opened their mouth, and a completely different language came out. Pentecost Sunday, 2,000 years ago, was about a miracle that God did in these men by speaking a language that was foreign to them. Pentecost Sunday, it's about learning to let God use us for whatever kind of miracle he wants. If God wants to use and give me and download a language that I have no idea so that I can be a witness for him, then God, may your will be done. Whatever it miracle, whatever power he wants to do, whatever God wants to do, everything in this story, it's so that people's lives can be changed. Because we know after this minute, some of them were making fun of Peter and the boys. But over 3,000 people gave their heart to Jesus in this moment. So the language, it wasn't so that they can, you know, puff their chest and say, I just learned Russian. Yes, look at me, how distinguished I am. Because some of us, that's what we do. When we do something, it's like an accomplishment. It's like getting a star on the board from our teacher. Yes, I got a smiley face. Everything that God does, Abraham was blessed so that he could be a blessing. The blessing wasn't so that he can just be blessed. Believe me, it's nice though just to be blessed. But a blessing is what? So that we could be a blessing. The miracle in this, it wasn't so that the disciples could say, look at us, look at us, look at us, look at what we're doing. It's so that lives could be changed. Pentecost Sunday is understanding everything God does. It's for what? Lives to be changed. Lives to be changed. What does God want to do? He wants lives to be changed. Why? To become better. To taste heaven on earth, to prepare us for what's next. The miracle of Pentecost is understanding whether it's to speak a new language, whether it's to pray and watch somebody be healed. Everything that we do in life, it's so that God can use us to change somebody else's. Crazy. Matthew 10:18 says, one day, many are going to stand trial before governors, kings, because we are his followers. But this will be an opportunity to tell rulers and other people, unbelievers, about me. When you're arrested, don't worry how to respond, what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. When I was younger, I didn't care about being prepared. I used to believe there was only one way to live, in the minute, in the moment. You wing it, right? The older you get, something changes and you're like, I should be a little more prepared. I should be prepared for the day, prepared for the job, right? When it comes to talking for God, that's not what he wants us to do. What did he say to the disciples? Don't worry about what to say. Don't worry. Let me just speak through you. You're going to be put in front of people. Don't worry about what to say. I'll give you the words to say at the right moment, at the right moment, at the right time. He goes on to say, don't worry about how to respond, what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. It's not you who will be speaking. It's going to be the Spirit of God. And a brother, it's going to betray his brother. Father, betray his own child. Children, rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. Sounds like a lovely time, doesn't it? But the point Jesus is making, we get so worried about everything, even what we need to say for God. We get so worried about so many things. God says, listen, if you just stop and be still, let me speak to you. Let me speak through you. I will give you what to say and when to say it. Learning to listen, learning to be filled, learning to be moved by the Spirit of God, learning to listen, learning to be filled, learning how to be moved by the Spirit of God. Number 8, it says that the Holy Spirit gave this ability. Pentecost Sunday, it's about recognizing the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, we know the Bible says the Holy Spirit's a helper, Holy Spirit's a comforter, Holy Spirit's a guide, the Holy Spirit transforms us, the Holy Spirit helps build our character, the Holy Spirit empowers us. The word empower is like a dynamite, electrical superpower to live. Not to do superpower kind of things, not to be Superman and Wonder Woman, though that sounds like fun. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live a life that honors God. How many of us as a Christian, I'm trying so hard to be good. I'm trying so hard to do right. I'm trying so hard to get away from these things that I do and I shouldn't. A lot of people, we're trying to do it, what? On our own, instead of learning to trust and be filled and consumed. God knows. And so what did he do? He sent his Holy Spirit. Life is hard. It's hard to be a Christian. We don't have to do it on our own. You do it by being filled by God. The Bible says we are filled. The Holy Spirit, what? It produces. The Holy Spirit produces inside of us. The Holy Spirit. We can't be who God wants us to be without the Holy Spirit. We can't help see the change in other people without what? The Holy Spirit. We can't pray and see somebody be healed without what? The Holy Spirit. We can't pray for a dead person and watch them come back to life without what? The Holy Spirit. We can't pray for provision and see things move and shake and happen without what? The Holy Spirit. We can't live a godly life without the Holy Spirit. Now, we're all good. All of us in here, we're good, we're perfect, we're amazing. But you know what? We probably could be a little better. We could probably be a little better. I'm sure there's at least one area of our life where we could probably be a little better. And how could we get a little better? By God filling us with his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who produces this kind of fruit. Love, peace, patience, kindness. How come sometimes we don't have patience? How come sometimes we don't have love? How come sometimes we're not kind? Because we're not letting God fill us in that moment. How are we not producing what he wants us? Because we're not being filled by God. Acts 1:8. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they can no longer see him. The Holy Spirit alone can empower us, enable us, give us, lead us, guide us to live the life that God wants us to live. Pentecost Sunday, it is about the Holy Spirit. Number 9, it says that in this minute, in this moment, everyone, what? They heard. Turn to your neighbor and said, did you hear? heard. Have you ever thought someone's listening? See, some of us, we've watched too many scary movies. Someone's there. I know they are. It's dark. I bet you someone's going to jump around that corner and they're going to try and take my wallet. We just have seen too many things. There's things that we've listened to. There's things that we've watched. And we're like always expecting something is going to happen. It says Pentecost Sunday, as it got to this point, it says everyone heard. I don't know how loud these men were. I don't know if they were shouting. I don't know if they were just talking normal, but it says everyone heard. Pentecost Sunday, it's a reminder that no matter who or what is going on in life, remember, someone's always listening. Pentecost Sunday reminds us someone is always listening. Everywhere we go, everything that we do, even when we think we're alone, you know what? You're not alone, because we know that God's there. Someone is always listening. In this minute, people were filled with different languages. There was a visible manifestation. And it says everyone, everyone, not just some, but everyone heard what was going on. The disciples, the Christ followers, they were listening. People listen to you. Whether you think they do or not, people listen to you. People watch you. People watch you. People listen to you. People are waiting. They're waiting. You know what people are waiting for? They're waiting for God's children to get it. You know, there's people in our life today, they're waiting. They know for some reason. I really like these people. I'm not sure why. You know why they want to be around you? It's not because you're nice. It's not because you're strong. It's not because you're beautiful or you're handsome. It's not because your style of clothes or what you drive. People want to be around you. And you know what? There's something, there's like an expectation inside them. You know what they're expecting? They're expecting to see God in you. They're expecting to see God in you. Everyone heard. And everyone today, they're waiting. They're waiting for us. They're waiting. They're waiting for some of us to get it. There's family members that we have, and their lives are all screwed up. Why? Because they're waiting for us to get it. God wants us to be the change. He doesn't want us to sit and pray for other people to be changed. He needs us to be the change for other people. We can't sit and expect everyone in our life, they need to change here, they need to change there, they need to get this right, they need to do this, they need to do this, they need to do this. No, God needs us to change, to be the change, to be the light. And when people see that, they want to change. God spoke to and through the disciples and Christ followers. So Pentecost Sunday, God could have just spoke from heaven. There was times where God just spoke from heaven. And on Pentecost Sunday, he could have just spoke from heaven. But what did he choose? He chose to speak through us. There's a lot of things God can just do. One day God is going to allow this earth to be destroyed with the fire. He is. There's a lot of things God can do. There's a lot of things God will do. But there's one thing that God wants to do, and what's that? He wants to use us. He wants to use you. He used the disciples. Pentecost Sunday, it reminds us that God wants to use me. Ephesians 2:10, we're God's masterpiece. Tell yourself, I am God's masterpiece. He's created me to be new in Christ Jesus. So we, why are we his masterpiece? So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. How many of us, we have so many plans in life? Where we're going to work, what we're going to do, how we're going to live, how much money we're going to have in the bank. Those are none of the things God planned for us. The things that he planned for us are to do good things and change the world. We are God's masterpiece. Why are we his masterpiece? To be used by him. Paul says we are his utensils. Philippians 2:13, God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives, children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked, perverse people. We live, what? With a world full of crooked, perverse people. So being a light, it's like a fresh cup of water. Paul says, hold firmly to the word of God, so that on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and that my work, that it wasn't useless. God's working in you. God's working in you. God's working in you. God's working in you. Why? Pentecost Sunday. He could have done everything himself. How many of us know people? It's always got to be themselves, right? Got to do everything. They don't know how to delegate. God, I know, a shocker. God, he didn't do it all himself. God used his sons and his daughters. In the end, he says, well, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all. God wants to use us. God wants to use you. He wants to use us. The most powerful thing in the world is to be used like a utensil for God. 1 Peter 4:10, God's given each of you a gift. Remember I said it was your birthday today? Tell yourself again, it's my birthday. It's my birthday. I knew it. When I woke up this morning, I knew it. I knew I was going to get a gift today. I just knew I was going to get something. At least a free cup of coffee and a donut. But I knew I was going to get something. 1 Peter 4:10, God gives us each a gift from his variety of spiritual gifts. What are our gifts, Paul says, or Peter? Use them to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do with all the strength and energy God supplies. Everything you do should bring glory to God through Christ Jesus. All glory and power to him forever and ever and ever. Pentecost Sunday, it's about learning to use the gifts that God gives to every one of us. Have you ever said, I don't really like being used by other people? Have you ever been somewhere and you walk out and you're like, I don't know why, but I feel like I'm used right now. I feel like dirty clothes that have not been through the wash. How many of us have ever had a friend, a family member, a stranger that just made us feel weird and used? And you know what the strange thing is? What's funny about us in human nature? We will talk about this over and over again. I'm not going to be used, not going to be used, not going to be used. And then many of us, we get pushed in a corner. What happens? We let somebody use us again. I won't be used. I'm strong. So many men and women saying, I'm my own person. I don't do what anybody tells me to do. It's funny how people over and over and over again, when they talk and they puff their chest and I'm so strong and nobody messes with me, and then all of a sudden the devil uses someone, pushes them in a dark corner. It's amazing how quickly a person, no matter what they said, no matter what they said to their friends and family, they give into the minute and they do something they shouldn't do. And they allow the devil to use them again. And they let the devil use them again. And they let the devil use them again. Pentecost Sunday is listening. I'm not going to be used by people. And I'm not going to be used by the devil. My purpose is to be used by God. My purpose is to be used by God. God used them. He wants to use us today. Pentecost Sunday, the last part of this before we start to wrap up this morning. I love the last comment. It says, these men sound funny. They sound foolish. They sound like drunk men. Now, you wonder, why would they say that? If these men were speaking clearly in a language that was understandable, maybe not to everybody, but it was understandable to at least one person, why would you call them drunk? Why would you call them stupid? Why would you call them foolish when they were speaking a perfect language that made perfect sense to somebody else? Now see, this is where it's kind of crazy. Being a Christian, there are things sometimes Christians do, and it looks stupid, and it looks funny to other people. Some of us in here, there are times where we've made fun of other Christian people. But to them and what they were doing, just like the disciples, they felt like they were in the minute being used by God. But how many on the outside looked at them and made fun of them, called them drunk, called them stupid? Being used by God may look and feel different than everybody else. And that's a choice you have to make. I may look and sound different. You could go to a room full of 1,000 people and you can pick out the 20 Christians in there. Yeah, they got a different look for whatever reason. They do. We do. And we should. Why? Because we're not of this world. Some of us got to get that through our head. As God's son, as God's daughter, I'm not of this world. So I look different. So I sound different. Because my dad, my daddy, he's from above. And he's got unlimited resources. That's my dad. They made fun of them. They ridiculed them. And they called them, look at these drunkards. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. And they're sucking down the sauce already. Jeez, it's early. You know, there's so many people that are, if you decide to be a Christian and be filled with the power of God, you can be a Christian. There's many Christians, and many of us do it. Many of us have done it at times where we want to be chameleons. So when we go to the store, we don't look and act like a Christian. We want to fit in with everybody else. When we're at our workplace, we don't want to stand out, so we got to be like everybody else. Got to be a chameleon. We go home, fit in with the family, so we got to be like family. We're at school. How many kids? The pressure to conform to what everybody looks like. In friend circles, when you hang out with your friends, we all talk, some of us, about the same things. Because my friend's talking about it, I have to join in and talk about it. At the workplace, whatever they're talking about, I have to join in and talk about it. To be not of this world, to understand Pentecost Sunday, I'm making a choice. I'm not of this world, so I will be made fun of. I'm not of this world, I'm going to be ridiculed. I'm not of this world, so I'm going to look different. I'm going to sound different. People could call me drunk, and I haven't even got there yet. They're going to say things. They're going to falsely accuse me. Hallelujah. And how many of us, we've allowed the words to distract us. We've allowed the thoughts of people to slow us down. We've allowed the past. Yes, again, the past. We've allowed so many things. What people say. Well, if you're going to act all holy now, just remember where you came from. You're going to be all godly and cool now with your Christian club now, but remember who you used to be. So many people will not stop and step into the moment that God has for them because they're letting other people's words affect them. Let's be honest. People's words, many of us, we let the words affect us. How many people, if they go to college, become doctor? What's the first thing? Who are you? I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm a nurse. I'm a teacher. What we don't hear most of the time when people say, who are you? I'm a Christian. Nice to meet you. Why is that not the first words out of our mouth? if we're known by our words, then maybe we need to start changing our words a little bit. Because many of us are still proud of things that we've accomplished, what we think we've accomplished on the earth, instead of being proud of being who we are, which is a Christ servant, a Christian, a Christ follower. Words, they call them drunk. They're making fun of them. They're ridiculing them. And how many of us this morning have allowed words of other people to distract us, to affect us, to stop us from being who God made us to be? Understand, the devil steals, kills, and destroys. If God uses people in this Pentecost Sunday, does the devil, you think, do the work all on his own, or does he choose to what? Use people as well. Don't become the puppet of the devil. But every time we become angry and frustrated and bitter and just furious, whose tool are we being used of? The devil. How many of us have committed sins that we allowed in our head to grow until they explode and cause us to do something we shouldn't? Being used of the devil. Pentecost Sunday, understanding if you make the choice to be a Christian, people will talk about you. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. They called them drunk. Who knows what they're going to call me? Who cares? If I'm doing the right thing and if I'm living for Him, who cares? If I live for God. Now, if people don't talk about us, maybe it's because we're not doing enough living for Him. If you're not being talked about, if you're not being made fun of, are you living for Jesus Christ? Pentecost Sunday is a day, I'm going to get there. Veterans Day, it's a day we remember those who are serving. We know they're alive. Memorial Day, it's a day we remember the sacrifice of people who died, giving their life, fighting for this country. Veterans Day, we honor those who are alive, who served. Memorial Day, we honor those who are dead by talking about them, by remembering them. They gave their life to serve. Now that sounds kind of similar to what we've been talking about today. Memorial Day, serving, sacrifice, serving. Sacrifice. We do give thanks today because men and women have gone before us and they died for this great country. But there's someone far greater. And I would say than even, I think, way than any of us in here this morning. There's a man. He was half God, half man, who came, he lived, he died, and he sacrificed his life on this very thing, not this very one, but one that looks similar, a cross, sacrificed. His name was Jesus Christ. So we do honor those today, and we remember what it means. They sacrificed life so that someone else could live. But none of that, let's be honest, means anything. None of that means anything until you start understanding this sacrifice. 1 John 4:10, in this is love. Not that we love God, but God loved us. He sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us. And He sent His Son, Jesus, to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Ephesians 5:1, therefore, be imitators of God. Copy Him. Follow His example. Well-beloved children, imitate their Father. Walk in love, esteeming, delighting in one another. As Christ loved us, He gave Himself up for us. A slain offering, a sacrifice to God. For you, so that we become a sweet fragrance. And so on Memorial Day weekend, we do honor those who give. We do remember those who sacrifice their life for our freedom. But more than anything else, we honor today Jesus Christ, just like every day, the man and God who gave his life, who sacrificed his life because he loved us. Jesus loved us. God loved us. He served us. And Jesus became the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Why is sin so bad? Because when you sin, whether you realize it or not, you hurt yourself and you hurt another human being. People who commit affairs, they're sinning against God and they're hurting somebody else. People who lust, they're committing a sin against God and they're hurting somebody else. Somebody who's filled with so much anger and hate, when they talk, they're sinning against God and they're hurting somebody else. Why is sin so bad? Sometimes we don't see it. It is hurting us and it's affecting someone else. And because sin hurts us, because sin hurts another human being, God had to send his son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to become the sacrifice for our sins, so that the power of sin can be broken in me. So the power of sin can be broken in you. Have you ever committed a sin before? Have we ever committed a sin before? Have we ever done something wrong? Jesus died to break the power of wrong in me. And this morning, that is who we honor. This is who we remember. This is what we give our life for. Jesus, who gave his life, the sacrifice of sin, so that sin can be broken in me. And Jesus said, after I die, I'm leaving and I'm going away for this one thing, so that the Holy Spirit may come. Are we living the life God made for us to live? If we're not, it's because we're not full of God's Spirit. Are we letting soul control us, or are we walking in victory? If we keep sinning over and over again, it's because we're not letting God's Spirit what? Fill us and give us strength. If we have a problem being kind and loving and peaceful, there's only one way the Bible says that you get all these things. It's by letting the Holy Spirit produce them in your life. If we're not seeing healing and provision, if we're not seeing miracles and miracles, why? It's because we're not, like Torrin Wells sang about, we're not making room for the Holy Spirit to move in us. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come so that you can enjoy life, have it to abundance, to the full, till it overflows." This morning, many of us, we've lived in many minutes where we let the thief kill, steal, and destroy. We've hurt ourselves. We've hurt other people. People committed sins that break other people's hearts over and over again. Jesus said, if you could just turn to me, because I've come to give you life abundantly to the full until it overflows. And if you don't feel this morning that you're living a full, abundant, overflowing life, this morning, if you're not in a space where people are ridiculing you, making fun of you, calling you out for being good, maybe we ask ourselves, either I'm struggling too much because I'm not living for God, I'm not living for him enough, I'm letting sin get the best of me, I'm being used over here. And maybe I'm not, and I have been afraid to step out and be used by God. But the question is to ask ourselves on Pentecost Sunday, it's about one thing, it's what we're full of. We started last week, you're full of it, and we're full of a lot of things this morning. Are we full of his Spirit? I tell you, keep on asking. You're going to receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, you'll find. Keep on knocking, the door will be open to you. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be open. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Yes, it'd be fun. But if they ask you for an egg, you give them a scorpion? Of course not. If sinful people know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Some of us in here this morning, maybe the Holy Spirit filled us at 1 minute, but He's not right now. Maybe we've never asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe we're not walking in the power and the might of God's Holy Spirit. We don't live for Pentecost Sunday. We live for every day ourselves, what my needs are, what I need, what I want, what I feel, what I think, what my hunger is, what my belly is, what I look like, what I sound like, who I am, what my desires are, what I need to accomplish in the world. Everything but God. If you know by listening to Pentecost Sunday, life could be off track a little. Maybe I'm off track a little. Stand, our eyes are going to be closed, lights are going to be off, and ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit.